It's a Good Life, coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
As we study the book of John, let me remind you of the author of the book. Now, we know that God is the author, but he used penmen to pen down his words. And John, the apostle, was the one who God used in this book that we're reading right now, the book of John. This is not John the Baptist now who God used to pen down these words. This was John the apostle. And I read so many things about John the apostle. Chapter 21 comes to mind of the book of John, where Jesus was standing on the shore of Galilee. This was after his crucifixion, burial, and resurrection. He was standing on the shore there, and seven of the apostles were out fishing, and they looked, and they saw a fire burning, and they looked towards the shore, and it was Jesus, but they didn't recognize him at first. He told them to cast the net on the right side of the boat, and when they did that, they got so many fish that they could not haul them into the boat in the net. Now, they had fished all night. They caught nothing. But then in the morning, Jesus said, cast your net to the right and you're going to catch fish. And they did. Well, at that point, John, the apostle, recognized who he was, who Jesus was. And he said, it is the Lord. And the Bible tells us that Peter, we call Peter the one who was, he was very outspoken. And he was a rash individual. He did things sometimes without even thinking. But the Bible says he cast himself into the water, and he swam. And the Bible teaches us that they all got to the shore and that Jesus had a breakfast waiting for them there. He didn't need the fish that they had caught because he already had fish cooking, and he was waiting for the apostles to come there and have breakfast with him. And you go back and you'll study how that the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper. We read about that in a couple of different places. Matthew chapter 26 talks about the Lord's Supper being instituted, how that after they had taken the Lord's Supper, that Jesus said, now I'm not going to partake of this again until we're in heaven together. He said, we'll be doing it then. Well, the Lord's breakfast is not the Lord's Supper. Remember, he was on the shore, and he had something prepared for them to eat that morning. But these apostles, they were looking forward to the time when they would eat with the Savior in heaven, that is, eat the communion as they did in that upper room as the Lord's table was instituted. And we too, as saved people, we need to look forward to that one day we'll be able to partake of the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, if you will, with him personally in heaven. And I'm looking forward to that. Bible says as often as we eat and drink and do the things that God told us to do there in partaking of the Lord's Supper, we do that in remembrance of him. And we do show the Lord's death until he comes. So it's important for us to partake of the Lord's table. It doesn't save us. We do that. We take the Lord's Supper and partake of the elements there because we are saved, not to be saved, not to get points with God, but in remembrance of him and showing his death until he comes. And that's what God wants us to do. Now, we're in the book of John, chapter 8, and we've read a few verses here. And in fact, I want to look at verse 23 and read from there for a few verses. Verse 23 says, and he said unto them, this is Jesus speaking to the scribes and Pharisees, the Jewish people there. He was teaching in the temple. And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. Well, where was Jesus from? Jesus was from heaven, of course. And God loved us so much, he sent his only begotten Son here to seek and to save those who were lost. He would lay down his life for us. So he was from above, he was from heaven. But he's telling the people here that they are from beneath, they're worldly. And they're not looking at things from above. They're not looking at things from heaven. In other words, spiritually speaking, then they saw someone from above, and that was Jesus Christ. In verse 24, Jesus said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Well, he, who's he speaking of? He says, if you do not believe that I am he, if you do not believe that I am the Savior, he's saying, if you don't believe me, you shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning, I have many things to say and to judge of you. He that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. Jesus was one who received instruction from God the Father. He listened to God the Father. And as God the Father would impart to him, remember, Jesus would go into the garden and pray. He would go away for a space of time, and he would pray and converse with his heavenly Father. And he would receive what he needed as he spoke with his heavenly Father. The heavenly Father would instruct him as to what he was to do. And that's the way that you and I need to be with our heavenly Father. We need to approach him in all reverence, realizing that he is God, and that he is the one who is to receive all the honor and glory. He is to be exalted. He's God. And we need to go to him and speak with him just as Jesus did, and talk with him. The Bible says that we have not the spirit of unrighteousness within us anymore. We have the Spirit of God living within us. So therefore, we can talk with God. The Bible also says that we have a mediator between us and God, and that is the man, Christ Jesus. He is our heavenly priest, and he speaks for us when we talk to the Father in prayer. Now keep in mind that God talks to us through his word. But we have a high priest in heaven, and that high priest is the Lord Jesus Christ. We go to him, we pray, and he takes our wants, our needs, and our prayers, our thankfulness, our exalting the Heavenly Father, our exalting Jesus. He takes all of those to the Heavenly Father, and he mentions what we need and what we are praising him for. Now keep this in mind. We have a heavenly high priest, not an earthly high priest. There is no such person listed in the Bible as a high priest on this earth. The only person that we are to pray to is Jesus Christ, God the Father. Jesus Christ takes our prayer to God the Father. And we need to keep that in mind, that there is no earthly priest that can intercede for us in this life or the next life. But Jesus Christ is the high priest that we look to as saved people. He is the one who talks to the Heavenly Father for us. What Jesus says in verse 26 again, he says, I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. In other words, once again, he's receiving the things that he needs to be doing from God the Father. We too would not get in so much trouble as human beings, I believe, if we listen to God the Father, if we listen to the Lord Jesus Christ. We wouldn't have the problems that we have if we simply followed the instructions of God. His instructions can be found in his word. He did not leave us, once again, comfortless. He sent the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth. And that truth is going to be found in his word. As we study his word, we listen to what he has to say. That's how he speaks to us. And we're to be doing the things that God wants us to do. In verse 27 of John 8, it says, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. They could not even understand that he was talking about the Heavenly Father. Well, it's no wonder, because they had never received Jesus Christ as Savior. They refused to receive what he was telling them. They were looking once again to the earthly and not to the heavenly. They would not listen to the Savior of the world. Verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, this is important, listen to this, Jesus saith unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Well, what's he speaking of here, being lifted up? We look at this and automatically I think back of Moses as he lifted up that serpent in the wilderness, the golden serpent. As he lifted that up, as people looked to that golden serpent upon that stick, they looked, and the Bible says, look and live. Well, they looked at that. They had sinned a great sin against God. And as they looked upon that, they received life. They did not die physically. Well, Jesus said that he was going to be lifted up. It says, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man. Who is the Son of Man? Jesus Christ. When you lift up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he. Well, this, of course, is not, everybody's not going to believe that he was the one. Everybody's not going to go to heaven. And I do believe that there'll be more people in heaven than in hell, because God is more powerful than the devil. His word is greater than the devil's word. God offers eternal life. The devil offers eternal death. So who are you going to believe? Are you going to believe the one that offers eternal life or the one who offers eternal death? Well, that's a no-brainer, isn't it? We believe the one who has offered us eternal life, not an ending life, but a life that goes on forever and ever, a real life for eternity, one where there's no sickness that bothers it, no pain. We have nothing to worry about or fear in that new body that God's going to give us. But you know, today, those of us who know him as Savior, we really don't have anything to worry about. Even in death, we don't have to worry, because the old saying is, Jesus has pulled the stinger out of that old thing we call death. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? We have the things that this world cannot give us. And the main thing that we have Jesus Christ. The main person that we have is Jesus Christ. And we have eternal life through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he told these people, he said, when you lift me up. And we know the Jews, they were the ones who called for the crucifixion of the Lord. They actually said, let his blood be upon us. And so when they lifted him up, some of them actually got saved. As they stood around that cross, they understood who Jesus was. It was that the centurion who was standing here, he said, surely this was the Son of God. He recognized him for who he was. I believe he got saved, that centurion, that soldier that was at the cross. And I believe there was actually more people who got saved than that one person. Jesus said unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, he's the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. Jesus had prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, if this cup, I pray that if it be possible, if this cup pass from me, let it be done. He said in so many words, and then he added, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. He was willing, as a servant, to go to the cross of Calvary. Shouldn't we, as servants of God, be willing to do everything we can to help other people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus? Shouldn't we take him to this lost and dying world and let people know, thus saith the Lord, you need to be saved. You need to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Take the gospel. Let people know that you're a saved person and that you represent the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.